cartoons from present and the past. Every week will be an animated bash. Woo! What a cartoon! What a cartoon! Maybe a short but mostly sharp. We'll talk, we'll analyze, exploring as we go. What a cartoon! What a cartoon! What a cartoon!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What a Cartoon, where we take every turn of phrase literally. I'm your host, lovely Kielbasa, Bob Mackey, and this is an audio exploration of every cartoon ever. Who is here with me today?
Henry Gilbert, and Bob is my buddy in the buddy system.
Whoa, I was not told of this. And who else?
I'm Dave Rudden, and I'm amazing, great, wonderful, and a genius.
Yes, that's how we know Dave. And today's episode is the Bobby's World episode, Swim By Me.
Yeah. In a guy's life, there's one special time he always remembers. A really special time. Yeah. For me, that time is today. This is the first day of my summer vacation.
So Bobby is not even in school yet. What is he talking about?
What's he give a shit about summer vacation?
I'd forgotten at the beginning of this episode what age he was. He does state it later in the episode, which is astonishing because I suggested this episode and I loved Bobby's World when I was a kid. This was probably my first favorite show. Like,
wow.
The Simpsons, I think they both, like, Simpsons started in, what, like, 1990? This started in 1991, and I was watching The Simpsons, but I was watching Bobby's World more religiously
because
it
this
was
show
Saturday morning treat.
Actually,
I think,
was 90.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, so Bobby's World was 91 or 92?
Bobby's World was 90 as well.
Okay.
90,
it,
wow.
It premiered with the Fox Kids lineup in the first year, 1990, and it wasn't until 92 when Fox Kids went in earnest here. Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll get into the vanity cartoons that celebrities made. There are many of them, and many of them had a smaller version of themselves. This is one of the ones that did last more than one season. In fact, it lasted eight seasons.
Lot.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, there, I was on a Laser Time ages ago about vanity cartoons, and I think the end of Bobby's World just came up on 30-2010, so it's just kind of like a weird circular thing.
Wow.
1998.
Yeah, but I never thought of this as a vanity cartoon because I did not know who Howie Mandel was before this show started.
No way.
Even though I had seen Gremlins a ton of times, I didn't know he was Gizmo.
So just for the record, the year one of Fox Kids, according to Wikipedia, but I remember having a poster of this in my a promotional poster of this in my bedroom as well.
Did you all get the newsletter, by the way? The Fox Kids newsletter.
I did
too.
So year one on top of Bobby's World was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Fox's Fun House. Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates, which was a spring 1991 show. Pigsburg Pigs. I do not remember
no
at
thanks.
All. Zazu U and the almost as long-lived as Bobby's World, Tom and Jerry Kids.
Oh,
it's
thumbs
Tom
down.
And Jerry Kids.
Even as see where all the action is.
Yeah.
Yes, that is quite a list. Some good and some not so good. Yeah.
Mostly not so good. I was surprised that among those wasn't Dog City. I remember Dog City is one that I thought it was one of the first ones.
I think
ones,
that was a post-Henson death
one. Yeah, it was Lightning 3 or something. But before that, how did it all come together? Well, comedian Howie Mandel had in his stand-up act a voice that he would do of a little boy telling stories and being very annoying, honestly. And seeing his parents have sex, too, at one time. But when I would see these later, I was surprised by just how randy they were.
Me too.
Get a little blue.
I remember watching a CBS comedy special probably in like 93, 94 after having watched Bobby's World. I'm like, I didn't know this was a character he did. I'm going to watch this. And like you said, Henry, it was the bit about Bobby walking in on his parents having sex and asking questions about, you know, various things that were happening.
with
the Bobby voice.
It's quite dirty. And here is a funny, I've heard Mandel tell the story multiple times, but this is him at some college event or something. It's him telling the story of how he did the Bobby voice and how the Bobby voice was in every cartoon he did.
And then I went out to California and I started doing a lot of voiceovers. I did the Muppet Babies. I was Skeeter on the Muppet Babies. It was a little girl. It's not that great. Remember Skeeter? She had a little brother Scooter. It's not that great. If you listen closely, it's the exact same voice as Bobby. Then I did all the Gremlin movies. I'm Gizmo, the first little fuzzy one that got wet and started all the Gremlins. It's not that great. Go get the DVD. He goes, same voice.
Gizmo has more of a drawl. Like, draws out the words.
I like that Howie Mandel is very kind of self-effacing. He's like, look, yeah, it's bad to hate it.
It's the one voice he can do, but nobody else can do it. I think I've never heard that sound come out of someone, even like Frank Welker or Billy West or people like that. Like, it is such a unique, unique to his biology that he can make that sound.
He said he discovered it while choking on food at age 11 and just like, oh, man, this is stuck.
And now he has to choke himself every time.
Oh, God. I think he was more famously known as his stand-up comedy bit would involve blowing up a rubber glove on his head until it almost gave him like an aneurysm or something. Like, it almost seriously hurt him.
Yeah. And I thought I heard some like old wives tale about how he like hit his head off of a off a coffee table while doing that or something.
That might have been a Family Guy joke, actually.
That's it.
Poor Howie Mandel. Like, he's of the silly comics of his time. I appreciate him in a workmanlike way that he has stuck with it. He's just like, this is what I'm good at. I like doing it, and I'm not too full of myself. Yeah. And his picadillos are just that he is a bad case of obsessive compulsive disorder. Yeah. Like,
is he also like a germaphobe too?
That's part of it. Yes.
Yeah, like he hosted a game show for a while. I think it might be coming back to CNBC.
The most boring game show where you just pick a number, I think. Yeah, and that's it.
And they also like made an arcade game out of it, which is like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You can
change the button you press.
I played the slot machine of it.
Were there buxom ladies holding things?
But it's all about like he brings up two or three people per show and it's like, well, I'm not gonna shake their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a story about Rob Schneider being an asshole to him. Of that he was co-hosting with Kelly Ripa. It was Howie and Kelly that day. And out comes Rob Schneider, and he says, like, you got to get over this shit. And he shakes his hand, and then Howie freaks out. He's like, I need hand sanitizer right now. And he just stops. And Kelly Ripa is like, she admonishes Rob Schneider, which is right. Like, it's like, that is such a, over it, pussy. Like, get
you
over
it. You can't do it.
I'm shocked to know that Rob Schneider is not a nice guy.
I wish Kelly Ripa had kicked him in the balls then and be like, get over it.
It's weird to see Howie Mandel in this show in the live action parts with his nice shiny mullet. Yeah. And now he looks like a supervillain. He's like completely shaved bald in like a pure black suit with a soul patch. It's like, is he holding Gotham for ransom or something?
But hearing about like how he was a germaphobe, it did make me think about like, all those times he like hung out with Bobby in the beginning segments, like, never touch the kid.
That's right.
That kid is a harbinger of a ton of germs.
It wasn't
because
of the cheap animation. They could never interact.
So Howie Mandel was a big name comic in the 80s, and then Fox was the then new Fox Network. It was looking to make a show, and he pitched it along with his friends Jim Fisher and Jim Stahl to Fox as a show based on that kid's voice, except pitched to children. And I would say that of all the first year of Fox Kids shows, as I listed before, it was easily the standout. Bobby's World was easily the standout.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of weird bits in this show, and I watched a ton of it, probably the first four seasons. There's a lot of this where I'm just like, oh, they just let Howie Mandel improv on this, on this, especially in those beginning scenes.
Yeah, feels very proto Family Guy. Like, but instead of like random cutaways, it's like children's imagination cutaways.
Yes.
Long ones.
It's much slower and much, much more gentle. It's sort of like, I don't know, there's this craze around the late 80s, early 90s, like a bunch of shows about kids using their imaginations.
Yeah.
And this was one of them for sure.
And I found a real Rick and Morty quality to Howie Mandel's voice acting. I'm not making fun of it. I think he has a lot of pauses and restarts. Bobby, like, that they just keep in. They didn't tell him do another take.
I do like his voice acting a lot in this. Even though the Bobby voice is annoying and it shouldn't sing, it just, like, again, nothing can make that voice but Howie Mandel. You will not hear that voice anywhere, so it's just sort of fun to hear him talk.
And rounding out the voice cast are major names like Gail Mathias. Is that
She was on SNL for a couple years, in the early 80s.
She was one of the cursed seasons of SNL, but she had two characters on that that included a chain-smoking hairdresser who said, "Don't you know?" And a Valley Girl character.
Oh, she did the other one.
So she is Kelly and Martha, both. Those SNL characters became those two characters.
I was always confused by Kelly on Bobby's World because she's a lot like Kelly from Married with Children, which is also on Fox around the same time. And also, I had a crush on both of them when I was like 10 years old watching these shows.
They have similar looks for sure. Yeah. Yes.
But also it made me... it was almost impossible to, like, locate this family. Because I was watching this with my girlfriend. She's like, where did Bobby live? I'm like, I have no idea. He has a Midwestern mom and a Valley Girl sister.
Yeah. He clearly lives in Bobby's world. I mean, come on.
I forgot.
And, and also Tino Insano, who he worked with the writing partners, Diane and Peter Tilden, who wrote this episode, mm-hmm. and who put a lot of themselves into the show. But they said, well, in Second City, we worked with this guy who did this amazing goofball uncle character named Tino. So they created the character, drew him to look like Tino Insana, and then hired him for it. And it was his first voice acting job, really. And he would go on to be cast just to be that voice in everything, the Uncle Ted voice.
Yeah, he recently passed away within the past year or so. But again, watching this again, I don't think it's the most funny show, but I also like him and his character and his voice acting, sort of like a John Candy style body uncle.
I think I wrote in my notes that he's like a fusion between John Candy and Barney Gumble. Barney Gumble body type and possible alcoholism.
As you get older, you realize Uncle Ted is not as cool as Bobby thinks he is.
I also had the sad realization like watching this, like when I watched it as a kid, I was Bobby. But now I'm kind of like Uncle Ted.
Both Tino and Gail came from a improv background and they could really play around with Howie as well. And so I think that's a real positive to the show and the voice cast. And the theme song was composed by John Tesh.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
That John Tesh.
You can kind of hear it. Actually, I had a weird Twitter encounter with John Tesh
a
few years ago where I really loved the theme song to Super Smash Brothers Brawl, and I disliked the theme song to Super Smash Brothers 4. And I tweeted, this sounds like a fucking John Tesh song. And John Tesh replied, thank you. And I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to make John Tesh sad. Again, watch what you say on Twitter. Celebrities are watching you and they do have feelings.
One of my favorite all-time instrumental themes is the NBA on NBC theme.
Yes, that's great.
It's great.
And Entertainment Tonight, which is very similar. Also, those are both John Tesh, right?
Yeah.
And I guess lastly, I'll mention on production side, this is animated via Film Roman Studio, who in Simpsons Season 4 in 1993, they take over as the animation studio from Gabor Chupo and the Klasky Chupo group who worked on Rugrats. So, you know, a real kind of incestuous thing here. They can definitely see they can do a bit more with the more budget that Simpsons has.
It's still not really up to the Film Roman standard, I expect, on like Garfield and Simpsons and King of the Hill.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good as Garfield and Friends.
The show really, like, it blows its wads on the imagination sequences.
Yeah.
And then when it's, like, just not Bobby's World, I guess. It's like, oh, this is kind of terrible.
And they also get like a bunch of time out with the live action stuff. Like they save money, so there's only probably like 18 minutes of animation.
So yeah, I don't know if you want to officially like get the episode started, but like one of my first observations was that this show eschews the normal celebrity show where it's like Pro Stars or other vanity projects where it's like here's 2 minutes or the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Here's 2 minutes of live action that we don't have to animate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
This is like, oh, well, this is a hybrid between live action and animation, but literally the first 30 seconds are Howie calling out to Bobby, who's not in the room.
Yeah, it's like, we don't want to animate. We don't want to animate him right now. It's fine.
Well, but also on this show, that intro, why don't we hear the intro?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bobby's World. I'm Howie. Bobby?
What?
Get in here.
Why?
Because the show started.
Why?
Because the last show ended.
Why?
I don't know why. Just get in here.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're late.
So does that mean I don't have time for a song before the show starts?
No, you don't have time to sing a song before the show starts.
Phew, good, because I didn't have one yet. Maybe I'll do one in the middle of the show. Yeah.
That made me think, am I in trouble a Bobby generic catchphrase?
His catchphrase. He says it twice just in this episode.
And in case anyone is wondering, these are all on YouTube, I believe, legally. They're hosted legally, but I think you can buy them if you want, pressed to disc, like on demand. Wow.
If you have Amazon Prime, it's also just available.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Included with your Prime Video thing.
Why?
In interviews over the last decade, Mandel has said so many times, the show's coming back. Like, are we looking into bringing the show back? He said that in like 2007. He said it in 2014. He would probably still say it now, but there's really no bringing it back except for confusing appearance on Deal or No Deal in 2007.
I choose Deal.
Should we bring him out of the vault? He's in a vault? Look at him in the vault. Oh, there he is.
just walked out. He's all Flash animated.
Thank you. Well, that's not necessary. Thank you, everybody. Hi, Howie. Whoa. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Bobby.
Okay. Go ahead.
And he did the laugh.
He looks like a Parappa character in that. But so that should be a spectacle, a cartoon character walking out on stage. What actually caught my eye more in that clip is the Country Fried Rube, who is wearing an American flag dress shirt about five sizes too big, who's talking to Howie Mandel. I'm like, where did you get that?
I love Bobby.
But I think that guy was a Bobby fan. Maybe that was just
he was. He, I
fiction.
I think he was the guy, or at least within the reality of this game show, he was a fan of Bobby's World growing up, and he was bringing it up to Howie, and I think Howie was only too happy to hear from a fan of Bobby's World, which
there's one of you.
Someone remembered. They made 81 episodes of this show, and it's just gone for most people's memory. So me as a viewer, I definitely regularly watched it as a kid, more than I'd like to admit, I think.
I had the same sort of experience like with Rugrats, where it's like I watched the first three or four seasons like religiously and then just stopped. I did not know the show went 8 seasons.
Me neither.
I think in the case of Rugrats, there was a big drop off in quality. Yes, there are good Rugrats episodes, everybody. After
pre-deal, baby.
Yeah, after the creators left, I think like pre-movie, everything is good. But after that, just like, nope.
Yeah, and I would watch Bobby's World, but it skewed a bit younger than like when it premiered. I was 8 and it only got less. It's for little kids. I was Derek's age. And Derek would hate the show Bobby's World.
Yeah, I mean, I was into it because my name is Bob. My official name is Robert. But as a little kid, my family still calls me this, Bobby. I was Bobby, and I was like, okay, I have to be on board a show that's representing people like me, finally. There's a show about a little white kid named Bobby. And then we would get King of the Hill much later, so thank you. Thank you, television.
You brought up Derek.
Yes.
Can we just talk about how he seems to be a slightly different species than the rest of his family?
They're all drawn a little differently,
but he's got no like pupils or anything. He's just got like two dots for eyes and a different nose.
It's true. He is a freak, but he's going through puberty. He looks freaky.
Yeah, it's kind of like a South Park like Canada thing where puberty is a different body type. And
gross rat tail too.
Yeah,
but like, accurate.
Yeah,
kids had those
in 1991. That was the rage.
Yeah, the only reason I think I watched so much Bobby's World at a point was that it just, if I was watching cartoons that morning or when it got enough episodes to be in the afternoon slot and I was waiting for Animaniacs or Batman or Tiny Toons to start, I'll just watch Bobby's World. Yeah. It's on. It's a cartoon. It's better than anything else that's on TV.
What are you going to do? Read a book?
Yeah, certainly not.
It was like also like a prime time spot for the first two seasons at least. It was like 8 or 9 a.m., which is like, I'm up. I'm watching that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Starts off your morning.
So I did forget how great the opening animation is. Yeah. I think it kind of ruins the rest of the show because it's so good and almost like 3D and also like Shining influenced too.
Oh,
a little bit.
I didn't even think about that.
I just think with a tracking shot behind a kid on a tricycle, you can't not think of the Shining.
Definitely. I want to think that was like the pilot reel that they sold to Fox. Like, it'll look this good. And then it didn't.
Talking squash with our club him.
Laugh, that's my family.
Coming up next, stick around for even more surprises with Bobby.
Sometimes I even surprise myself.
Don't move a muscle. You can't miss a second of the fun. Because the Bobby's World Hour continues next on Fox Kids.
Rocking where the fish don't stink, yeah.
Fish don't stink. Underwater, the fish don't stink.
Oh, come on, not even 10-year-old gym socks?
No.
Even garbage trucks or broccoli?
Not even there.
So down here, mommies can't have fish, because they just can't smell stinky armpits.
But up above, I don't care if you're friend or foe, a day in the sun and you got B.O.
Jumping where the fish don't stink, yeah.
Fish don't stink. Way down under the fish don't stink.
Bobby, you smell...
And it was, yeah, this episode is filled with like references I did not get when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird that they make this show that skews so young and it's full of references. It's just like, no kid. There's sometimes where I'm like, how does Bobby's imagination create a movie reference? Yeah. Like he hasn't seen any of these.
But this is also around the time where it's like Tiny Toons and Looney Tunes, like what a character would be based off some 1940s actor. And it's like, who knows this?
I feel like this has a real grab bag of the very easy cartoon references, like Taxi Driver, of course. Like,
of course. Well,
every 90s cartoon had a Taxi Driver reference. The most inappropriate movie to show a child is Taxi Driver.
But so then we get the intro, and they're eating breakfast while eating cereal and being served pancakes. Like, Martha is loading them up with carbs here.
Hey, I'll bet Bobby would enjoy going to the pool, don't you know?
Oh, boy. How'd you know that? Aren't moms amazing?
Duh.
Mom, be seen with my little brother at a public pool? Not. Why does he have to tag along? Like every cool person in school is going to be there. Oh, come on now, you two. He's your little brother. And I can't think of a better way to start the summer than the three of you going to the pool together.
I can't think of a worse way.
Ooh.
So this is maybe another reason like Bobby's World was a little distant to me, in that I am the older kid. This is a show from the perspective of the little brother. And I was the older brother. I was Derek in these situations more so than Bobby.
I was a little brother having a cruel older sister.
who didn't want you coming to places with her.
Oh, nowhere.
An inexplicable Valley Girl accent.
That's true. We don't know where it came from. That is true. The mother is from like Minnesota.
Yeah.
The daughter, what's her name? Is it Kelly?
Kelly.
She studied abroad in like the Valley.
I mean, I could see her just adopting that voice because it's just the cool thing to do. Well,
yeah.
So Martha sounds Minnesotan, but actually, as would be revealed in later episodes, Bobby lore here, she is Canadian. And the show is a very Canadian show. It's not so, I mean, Howie Mandel is Canadian. I believe Gail is also Canadian, and they would go up to Canada to meet Bobby's family via the Sven family through Martha. And I only remember that because, like, how do you spell Canada? Canada.
Well, there are certain Canadian accents that are very similar to the Minnesotan one. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just think of Scott Thompson doing his mom. By that, I mean performing a character as his mother would speak. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, don't you know?
That's true. There's a fine line.
Yeah.
Fine line, but
it's all the same up there.
So they tell them, you're going to make friends. And that's like the first of many. Okay, if you deleted every time Bobby was confused by a word, the episode would be 10 minutes long.
I mean, Bobby is young, but at a certain point in this episode, I'm like, he might have a learning disability because like he cannot parse any idiomatic language or any like turns of phrase. Like, of course you mean the literal thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is something, though, that I like the childlike perspective on this, that the adults are making mistakes, that they are assuming a child knows things. Like, Bobby almost dies because they assume he knows what something is.
Yeah.
And it's not Bobby's fault for not knowing, but no one ever really explains things to him.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys have anything like this when you were kids where you just, like, misunderstood a turn of phrase or something like that?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Like, my I'm blanking on one that I had personally, but I always, like, thought it was funny. I have a younger brother. I also have an older brother, so I was both the Derek and the Bobby at times. But my younger brother used to think that sudden death in like hockey and soccer was called Southern Death. And we would always just make fun of him for that.
I think for a long time I thought a point is moot was mute. Like, the point is mute.
A long time ago, they used to always say the show is brought to you by, and I thought it was brock to you by. And I'm like, what does this mean? What are they even saying?
And then you had a 5-minute long imagination scene of what a brock to would be.
And it was voiced by Howie Mandel.
Yeah, the making friends thing was cute and all. And my favorite was the drawing of Derek as a middle-aged boss. I just love that they redesigned him just for 10 words, and then he walks away.
Though I had some sad realizations from the scene. Mm. So the first is that he only really has one friend.
Yeah, that's true.
I forget her name.
Janie?
I forget.
Janet, I think. Her voice is very like monotone.
I remember that she always talked like this in those other episodes. She's the only friend. Then the other parts of that friend are his dog, his uncle, and his dad.
That is sad.
The other part of that that's sad is that neither of his siblings are part of that friend.
I mean, they're not friend. They're finally his friend again after after he gets saved.
What about Captain Squash?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Jackie is her name. I double-checked it here. We cannot get one thing wrong.
I'm sure everybody with this deep Bobby's World knowledge will come storming our doors.
And I also, sorry to take this slightly off track, but I think another reason I liked Bobby's World is I also was reading a lot of Calvin and Hobbes at this time, and it kind of seems a little analogous. Like, they both have like these hyperactive imaginations that they just sink into and have adventures
within.
And
gets like crushed by the world sometimes, too.
And they both have like platonic female friends.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised if the phrase Calvin and Hobbes appeared in his pitch for this show, you know, or at least in a Fox meeting. It's like, just like Calvin and Hobbes.
You couldn't get the Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. What else we got?
Yeah, I think within a couple years of this, I would learn like, oh yeah, they're never making a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. Yeah. So
you will never...
World.
Bill Watterson loves crushing dreams.
I love the little bits of, I've definitely been the kid, not with a brother, but with friends going to a cool place and them warning me like, you are not cool like this.
Everyone's going to know it's your first time.
Oh. Okay, let's go.
Bobby, get serious. You are so uncool. Nobody rides a tricycle to the pool, I'm sure.
I knew that.
I feel bad for him in those scenes.
Yes,
and then we get just so this is so obvious, but I guess they got it for kids. But like, this is the story of Boo Bradley.
Boo Bradley.
Boob Radley. It's Boo Bradley.
Shh. Okay. But why are we whispering?
Because Boo Bradley lives here, and we don't want to run into him.
Okay. But who is Boo Bradley?
Only the scariest person you've ever seen. They say he once tried to kill a mockingbird.
Uh-oh.
Look at the silly way you've rolled your tail. You'll never be a swimmer, and you've got big feet.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
As a 10-year-old, I enjoyed the Gregory Peck impression of the bird.
Pretty great. Yeah. It's again, flying right over kids' heads.
This episode should have been called To Kill a Bobby Bird, and then Bobby's dad could be defending a man unjustly accused of rape. It could have been a perfect allegory for the whole thing, but no. They had to go the kid-friendly route.
Though Boo definitely represents the same kind of thing in this as he does in To Kill a Mockingbird, of a thing people are scared of that they don't understand.
Yeah. And I thought it was Boob Radley until the Bo Jackson joke much later in this episode.
And there's also the Nate's Motel gag, which again, it's like Bobby has not seen Psycho. How is he imagining this? It's scary, kind of. So I'm like Derek. I was getting really sick of Bobby shenanigans. I kind of like that. They're just like, stop daydreaming. Stop it. Come on.
Let's follow Derek from now on. The one thing about the whole, like, so Bobby's imagining everything getting much scarier. They're trying to do like a Maurice Sendak kind of send up with the Where the Wild Things Are. Things are kind of looking like that. I mean, it's not as effective as they want it to be, but I can see what they are going for.
Yeah, from the perspective of a kid, things look scarier.
I also forgot that Bobby's like cutaways take place in real time. So like, anytime he's imagining something, he's literally doing it like possibly while just like spacing out. Like, it might be like something he has to get looked at.
We could do a recut of a Bobby's World episode, and all you have to do is just draw one static drawing of Bobby that you put over the screen in silence
with just like birds chirping in the background and like cars driving by. Man, okay, so we need to pioneer Bobby's.
I said make friends. Why did you take a minute to process that?
we need to kickstart Bobby's World chip posting. It could be us all doing it and no one actually responding or retweeting or
but they're not steamed hams.
Oh my god, Dave, I have to go.
I also, as a kid, like Bobby, I was confused by things like those bar grates. It does look like it'll just tear you apart. That can't actually work, right?
I had when that happened, I thought they would literally be sliced up. But I thought that was probably too graphic for Bobby's World, so they had the weird, like, hand...
They're all Cronenberged out in that thing.
And also because this is a kid's cartoon, they couldn't make the boys' locker room as, like, disgusting and terrifying as it is to a four-year-old.
This is the other reason I chose this episode, is because I went to public pools a lot as a kid.
So I'm curious, this episode, like, this is kind of a... Bobby's family is presented as a middle-class, upper-middle-class-ish family. They even move into a bigger house in one episode. But them going to a public pool, I know in my I did go to some public pools as a kid when I lived in Atlanta, but after that it was seen as kind of, I got the feeling in my family it was seen as like, oh, this is a lower class thing to do. Public pool is for free.
I think it was like how my mom like would survive the summer with us. It's just like, we go to the pool every day. I'm going to sit in like the combatant area and read a book. You guys run around for 5 hours and make yourself tired.
Tire yourself out. Just do it. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of that. I mean, there wasn't so much there was a locker room, but you know, it was, you know, it being like the 90s, I don't think my mom cared enough to like, all right, change out before you go home. It's like, no, you can just wear that. Wear that for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I would wear my swimsuit there, and then if we went home, I would put the towel around my swimsuit and just like, look, it's not soaking too much.
There's literally underwear built into this pair of shorts. It's like perfect.
I've never seen that weird foot pool they use.
That's new to me.
Maybe it's like in like the saunas the expensive writers were using or something. I don't know.
I thought it was the baby pool. Like, I don't know if they had baby pools at the public pools you went to.
They did, but the water in there was probably much filthier.
Oh, yeah, which we would also go into because it was like, you know, a foot deep at that, and we would just like slide around in it, not realizing like this is probably filled with baby piss.
It's just all piss. I mean, well, that is,
and it's like super warm. It's like, ugh.
That's another thing they can't talk about in a public pool children's episode of just like, well, it's all filled with urine. I mean, look, like everything's filthy.
Pete and Pete did it.
They got away with that in one Pete and Pete episode, the warm spots.
I mean, there's a different.
I love when older Pete. He's talking to the girl, and then she thinks he peed himself while talking to the girl he has a crush on.
I don't have very much public pool experience because we had an above ground pool after a certain point. Yeah. Actually, it's not fancy. It's a sign that you're like poor. And
was it the Tinkler or the lightning rod?
It was the rust magnet. Yes, but the one public pool I did go to maybe like two or three times. It was called, get ready for this, the Gaelic. As in Irish, as in being Gaelic or whatever. And
pale people, as far as the eye could see.
A lot of pale redheads. You had to be Irish to go to that pool. And I was, I think I might be part Irish. I don't know. But I think I went with an Irish family to the pool. And they like tested my blood and put a shamrock in my forehead. And I was cleared. But yes, the Gaelic.
I do like Derek kind of shirks his responsibilities a bit in this episode. But I do like that he explains some things to Bobby, like what you do at a locker.
Okay, listen carefully. Grab a locker, twist the key out, change your clothes, put your clothes back in the locker, put the key back in, lock the locker, pin the key to the shorts, don't lose it. Got that?
Yeah. Well, everything up to listen carefully.
Ba-dum-ba.
Boo.
And then we hear about athlete's foot, which, as a Bobby's imagination, why would one foot fly? I guess
well,
it's a
athlete's
singular
foot. Not
foot.
Athlete's feet.
I see.
By the way, I just noticed that Derek Generic, which is like the weirdest name of the family, in the later seasons was voiced by Pamela Segal.
Wow.
So Bobby was on Bobby's World.
My mind has been blown. I think they learned their lesson from casting an actual young boy who ages out of the role quite quickly. Like, let's just get a woman.
Yeah, that makes sense. But after watching that first, you know, make friends scene, I remembered, oh yeah, this is what Bobby's World is. Mm-hmm. And after every one of these idiomatic expressions, I'm like, they're clearing the runway. Like, everybody get out of the way. Here comes a fantasy sequence.
Some people speak like a human wouldn't speak just to say a term that no one would have heard of. And that would confuse them.
Any of you ever get athlete's foot? I still don't know what it is.
I did a little bit. It's just like, well, not exactly.
Itchy feet or something?
No, I mean, it's when your feet like get kind of peely or like need to use a hummus.
It is a fungus. It is like a fungal infection. It's like not a very serious one, but you just rub cream on it. Yeah, I got athlete's foot before. I'm disgusting.
Yuck. Yeah. I wouldn't be called an athlete.
Like, I wonder if I've got it and I just don't know that I've got it. Is it like the HPV of your feet?
your feet will be itchy and red.
I've itched before. Okay. Not red though, so.
It will be a bad itch. Yeah.
So I did like the little line about the shallow end and the shallow end,
he calls it.
Yeah, I was confused about what a shallow end was as a kid too. I do that rang true to me, but Bobby just follows orders like a good stooge, and then just walks up the ladder.
But I really hate to jump.
Hey, come on!
Swim.
Now that's a commercial break. He's jumping to his death.
Yes. Will Bobby die?
Which, I mean, I have to commend Bobby's bravery. Like, I don't know if you guys had that same fear of the high diving board for a while.
I've never actually used it because of that fear.
It's scary.
There would be a high, middle, and low diving board at my pool, and middle and like you graduated event, like you'd start with the low board and then like you'd be brave enough to do the middle board, but the high diving board, since we went literally every day during the summer, almost every day there would be like one kid who's just trapped up there, too afraid to do anything.
Clear the ladder.
Like it's a cat up in a tree.
It is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I've been only on I think maybe the middle ladder and that was too much for me.
But it was also like, oh, that's not how it works at pools where everyone is on the ladder. No.
Yeah.
One person's on the diving board, the next person has to wait at the bottom of the ladder.
That's true. In general, the lifeguard at this pool really sucks.
Yeah. As Bobby was saying before they got to the pool, these are a lot of new guys, not too many uh-oh veterans.
But actually, I'm deconstructing this more. At what place would they let a four-year-old climb that high? Like, the first time you'd see a four-year-old be like, get off of there. You're a baby.
The lifeguard was asleep at the switch because Derek somehow, like, Dell seams his body underwater to pull Bobby out of 20 feet of water.
So this isn't traumatic for me. It's traumatic for my mom, though, because this thing actually happened to me.
Oh, my God. It was Henry's world.
It was. I was almost three because my brother was born when I was three. So that's how I was babysat by this local woman who had a pool, which, by the way, like, you should not have an open door to your backyard when you own a pool and watch children, but she did.
That's a baby trap.
So my mom came to pick me up at the end of the day. She is at least 6 months pregnant with my brother and my only brother, and I fall into the pool. She's just talking inside, and she sees me walking outside and just drop into the pool. And she has told me that one of the scariest things she's ever seen is when she runs outside and sees me at the bottom of the pool staring up, just like thinking, what
oh
is this? And not even freaking out like Bobby does
trailer,
there
yeah.
too. So
Henry, was that an accent or a cry for attention? You're like, I'm still number one kid.
Well, as a two-year-old, I probably didn't understand that my life was about to be ruined by a child. Like, and all of his very selfish ear infections distracting from me, the best kid.
Ooh. With perfect ears.
Yeah, I do have perfect ears. So when Kelly asked about the light flashing before his eyes, she sounds a bit like Shirley the Loon, which is... That's the actress also plays her.
Really? Okay.
On Tiny Toons. Yes, yeah.
No wonder. That's like the one voice she does.
But she does too.
Oh, yeah, too.
Western Mom and Valley Girl.
Hey, she made it work.
Yeah. She went into voice after losing it on SNL. She went straight into voice acting and never looked back. But so it was a good thing that Bobby at least had one song ready by the middle of this. Yeah. And I will not subject the listeners to all of the songs. It's meant to be annoying.
Yeah.
In his imagination, the singers get annoyed by it.
I'm glad they acknowledge that. And I also write in my notes, I can't believe Bobby fucking sings on this show, because I remember there are a lot of songs, and Howie Mandel can maybe, I mean, I admire him for trying to sing in this voice, but there are like three notes he can hit as Bobby.
Yes.
And it's painful.
I mean, it seems like they haven't like more than enough to like fill an album. I don't know, they did come out with one.
There's got to be like
songs
a cassette
in the key
or something.
Of Bobby.
Yeah.
But, and when he says hit it, Mark, that might be a reference to show composer Mark Koval.
Oh, that's a nice shout out, Bobby.
So when I suggested this episode, I remember scrubbing through it on YouTube and I was like, oh, this is the episode with Fish Don't Stink.
Yes, now. And I believe that's Legume Land, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then as like the episode was progressing, I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is Animals Don't Wear Underpants. And then I'm like, no, wait, this is a completely different song. Not as memorable as those two.
Yeah, but I actually do love the ending to it. I enjoy the ending to it.
I was at the bottom of the pool. I don't recall how long. I guess it must have been a while. Cause I had time to write this song. My brother is my hero.
Oh, God.
And I truly do love him. And I don't know how to repay him. If only I...
Stop singing, you old dweeb! And get off of me!
Derek is really the audience surrogate. And by the way, while that was playing, I had a fantasy of one of our listeners at work listening to that on their computer and then turning their head, the headphones pull out, and the entire office hears the Bobby's World song, and they are fired immediately. Like, this guy's a serial killer.
You're a monster. God, I just... so then when they get to hear the story, actually Martha's reaction is kind of my mom's reaction to me almost drowning. And it's a little cute.
Oh, Howard, this sounds awful. What in corn's sakes is he trying to tell us?
They almost drowned.
Oh, for the love of... I'm down.
Oh, honey, it's okay. We'll get him some... Let's get him some swimming lessons.
In the water?
Of course in the water, Bobby. Where else would you swim?
I don't want
go back in the water?
Oh, Bobby, there's nothing to be scared of. Learning how to swim is just fun. Ask Uncle Ted, right?
Well, actually, I never learned how to swim.
Again, like I said with Howie Mandel, his exchanges in this are just like, of course, but like that's Rick. That's very Rick and Morty.
They're very naturalistic.
I think they do address this in some of those like opening things. But so Bobby's dad is actually Howie Mandel, who can transform between live action.
Well, and Howie cartoon. Generic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he's Howie when he's talking to Bobby, but he's Howard when he's a cartoon.
Yes, yeah. He's not the same person.
Okay, he's not. But I think there are episodes where he's like, are you ready, Bobby? And he just like squeezes real hard and becomes a cartoon.
Oh, that does happen. That's right. Yeah, I think they abandoned that. Also, did you notice in the beginning they make sure to credit Howie Mandel as the writer of the live action scene?
Boy, I really needed to know that.
He's watching out for his credits. But Howie Mandel is a man of many voices, as we learn from this next scene.
Oh, dear God.
Joyce Gitlin.
Here.
Bobby Generic?
Generic.
What?
Generic.
Not to worry, my little... I will call you my Bobby.
That's my name.
And you, my... I will call you my big Kunish.
Well, thank you, my lovely Kilbasa.
Mine class. So, what time is it?
Time for nuggies.
These came special delivery, Babo.
No, my little dumpling. Time for rolls.
Time for nuggies, another classic Bobby quote.
That's right. I had to get that clip because it was two running gags in it, the nuggies and the generic
this swim instructor is some sort of like nightmare Lynchian character. When I was watching this, I'm like, she's just gonna keep talking like this, isn't she?
Yes.
Hello, my friends.
It's a weird Jewish accent.
It's German though.
Yeah,
like my Kanish.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a Jewish grandmother, but she's like, she looks like she'd be in her like 30s or 40s.
She is drawn like a sexy older lady, I think. And I hope Ted closed the deal with her later.
That's for the fanfic to figure out.
She throws it out there real hard for him. Yeah. Like, and I love that in his back and forth that of all the things he could call her, he calls her Kielbasa, which is like, that's the most phallic thing you could call this woman.
You called her a wiener. Also, her skin is very brown. I was wondering, did she have a different, possibly more offensive accent at first, or was that the intention originally?
I hope not.
I don't want to assume the worst, but this was 1991.
I would hope they'd be a little better than that. Oh, by the way, Howie Mandel in real life has been married to the same woman 38 years, and he had had three kids by this point. So I think
doesn't want to touch him.
No hugs.
I know, right? How did he? I don't want to.
I'll just be in the other room.
Problem.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, but then we get there's a million scenes like this. This is one of my favorites, though, the horseplay bit.
And now, Mr. Ed, the talking horse in Death of a Salesman.
Thank you. Well, what's the secret, Ben?
No horseplay!
Or someone will get hurt! And another way not to get hurt is you swim with a buddy! This is what we call the buddy system!
I think a couple years later, I would realize, this is a really broad Jewish accent when I watch Spaceballs. This is yogurt.
Merchandising. Yeah.
But it is very German because she says mitz.
Mit a body.
Her age would not imply a woman who had fled to Germany for a reason in the 40s. Yeah. Like, she's too young for that.
She wasn't fleeing something. She was going towards Uncle Ted. Yeah. It's destiny.
And this was also the first time we heard Ted's full name as Hetzenbeuge Sven. But that actually is a line from Death of a Salesman, and I have it right here from a televised version that featured Ben, played by Gene Wilder.
Bernard.
What is it, Willie?
What secret? How did you... Why didn't he ever catch on?
So there, that's the depressing thing Bobby is remembering.
Being a salesman is doo-doo! Is that from Young Frankenstein?
But that... But how does Bobby know what Death of a Salesman is?
There's a lot of questions.
Or
like,
Mr. Ed.
Bobby has all this deep pop culture knowledge, but can't understand like expressions and metaphors and things like that.
And also, of all the times to have an imagination, when he sees her giant feet underwater, he doesn't imagine anything. He's like, ugh, those are ugly feet. Like, where's your imagination now?
I didn't really understand that. It wasn't drawn. They weren't really drawn to be ugly or anything. Mm-hmm. Just like, I guess there are feet underwater.
Also, like, don't throw stones, Bobby. Yeah, feet are big.
He has weird feet. Like, they are misshapen.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have been throwing hate on Derek or calling out that Derek looked different, because Bobby's got way different feet than the rest of his family.
He's like of the Stewie Griffin, humanoid family. Like, his mother should be dead if that was a natural childbirth.
But when I was 10 and saw this episode, I'm sure I appreciated the fart jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, class, I want you should make a little dunk with your heads in the water and make some bubbles. It's not too much I should ask.
Oh, Uncle Ted, how come you can make bubbles without putting your face in the water?
Tell you what, Bobbo, let's just keep that our little secret, okay?
Yeah. I guess Bobbo is his nickname.
That's cute.
Yes, I guess we are all turning into the Uncle Teds of our respective families.
Well, it's childless man, but it's kind of what we are. Yeah,
I'm wearing my shirt with lots of hearts on it, and my Macklemore like weird mini fro, whatever he's got.
I always thought it was like a pineapple.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely imagine it as a Hawaiian shirt. Like, Ted is definitely a Hawaiian shirt type guy.
And he is what like Homer Simpson describes as a big fat party animal.
I wish they'd gone out on that fart joke instead of just Bobby saying that he still appreciates Derek. I wonder if that's them just going like, we've kind of forgotten this plot point. We need Bobby to restate it.
They forget it completely until the end, which, I mean, I don't know. A lot of stuff does not pay off. This is not the best Bobby's world.
They mixed up a lot of things in this one. Yes. No judgment on you, Dave, for picking this one.
It's just the one, like, there's so many lines from this episode that I just forever embedded in my brain.
Bobby and Ted become guppies and they graduate.
Bobby, my darling boy. Bobby. You can go, Bobby. You can go now. Next, Theodore Teddy, Nutzenberger Sven, come on down.
Present, that's me.
You are the handsomest guppy I ever had.
Well, and may I say, my dear, you have incredibly lovely pores.
Uncle Ted, hurry up, I want to go.
Whoops, don't yank on the trunks too hard, Bubbo. Come on, we'll take the shortcut.
That was a little lewd.
Yeah, it was a little lewd.
Otherwise, everyone will see my dick.
But, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the instructor was into that.
Yeah,
but,
again, seal the deal.
Well, though, I wonder if in this next scene, he's talking about his fear of intimacy.
Yeah, I believe so.
Uncle Ted, why is everybody scared of Boo Bradley?
See, a lot of times, people are scared of what they don't know, Bobbo. For instance, you and swimming, and me, well, let's just stick to you and swimming.
Oh, yeah. Boy, Ted is like an onion.
Yeah, I know. I think he is afraid of intimacy with a woman, so she's...
I mean, I just hope that he did, like, he got the number on the way.
I would hope so,
Did they explore this issue more?
Well, there definitely was at least one episode where Ted started dating a woman and Bobby was jealous. Mm. He was jealous he'd never get noogies again because Ted wasn't paying attention anymore.
You know, Bobbo, I just don't know how to love.
Derek and Bobby are heading to the place again, and Derek straight up ditches him, which, like, in today's day and age, you go to jail. Like, you don't abandon a four-year-old in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like, he's four!
That's how the whole thing started, with him getting on the high diving board.
Yeah, that's true.
Derek would not be tried as an adult, but the rest of this episode teaches a very strange and harmful lesson to children.
Yes. Absolutely. But first, we get a reference to the 1988 vice presidential debate.
Woof.
Yep. I'm definitely a guppy. See you, Roger.
I do like Roger's design.
Hope that mockingbird isn't around here anymore. Good, he's gone. And Derek. Derek? Derek! Uh-oh, here we go again. Yeah.
So, you think you're a guppy, eh? Well, Mark Spitz was a guppy. I knew Mark Spitz, and I'll tell you, you are no guppy.
So if you aren't 8 million years old, you maybe don't remember this moment, which seemed like the biggest own of all time, except for Dan Quayle won. But this was from the 1988 vice presidential debate with Dan Quayle and the guy who lost to him. But this is Dan Quayle compared himself to John Kennedy. And that was a mistake to do in front of a Democrat who knew John Kennedy.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
In fact, I call him Jack instead of John.
That was some obnoxious hooting and hollering.
by the way, Mark Spitz for a while had the most ever gold medals
before
Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Before old Phelps.
The weed swimmer.
Yeah. I remember Mark Spitz because it's probably like in the Guinness Book of World Records or something. I'm like, that guy has the most like 80s mustache ever at the Olympics. It's like kind of incredible.
That's not like
it's not aerodynamic. I don't know how he got all those records.
Water dynamic, whatever the word for that is. Aquadynamic.
Yeah.
So at first I thought Boo sounded a bit like Richard Kind, but he's not in the credits. I think it might be one of the two Jims who co-created the show because they are in the credits of this. Yeah. Do you know this?
No, but you know who I thought this was is Fred Stoller. If you remember Dumb and Dumber, the scene with the phone, he was also on Dr. Katz quite a few times, and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
guy who talks like he kind of talks like a like how we
Fred
think.
Fred Stoller was on Seinfeld, and I didn't like to write for it.
Yeah, that's my one trick pony. I can do Fred Stoller.
Was he on SNL or like a writer on SNL? Because I think I saw him like during a lot of
he definitely
of
was
monologues.
A monologue asker of things, which is the job of a writer.
Yeah,
but also
I want to use the phone. Have you ever thought about?
But yes, Boo knows a lot of stuff, and apparently everybody's cool with him just walking around with a 4-year-old.
I'm a guppy, and there was going to be my body, but the bird came, and there it ditched me.
I'll be your buddy.
Oh. Do you know how to swim?
Yeah, Boo knows swimming.
You do? Do you know how to play baseball?
Yeah, Boo knows baseball.
Do you know how to play basketball?
Yeah, Boo knows basketball.
Football.
Yeah, Boo knows football.
Soccer.
Boo knows soccer.
Tennis.
Boo knows tennis.
Badminton.
Boo knows badminton.
Diddly.
Boo knows diddly.
Yes, so, okay, a few things.
Get it?
Number one, if you're a child and a large adult man in a swimsuit appears... Number one, trust him implicitly, especially if he's being very agreeable. Number two, follow him to where he wants to go.
If you know sports, then you should go with them because he'll be good at sports with you.
He'll take you there. And also, he's definitely not wearing a shirt, so you should walk around.
Yeah.
Exactly, just wearing a swimsuit. But this is also a reference to Bo Jackson and this famous commercial where Bo does a bunch of sports, some of them poorly. And that's Bo Diddley playing, I think.
Baseball. Football. Bo knows basketball too. Bo knows tennis.
Bo knows running.
No.
Sad Wayne Gretzky didn't back him up.
Bo, you don't know diddly.
Yahoo!
Get it? So that was a 1989 commercial. I guess we were all fascinated by a guy who played more than one sport for about a year.
He was football and baseball for a couple seasons.
A two-sport athlete. Bo Jackson was an amazing Superman to me. I was like, whoa! And these ads totally got me. I bought his CrossFit, cross-training, not CrossFit.
CrossFit?
Yeah, his cross-training shoes. Like, he sold a million shoes. Yeah. Watch, the 30 for 30 on Bo Jackson is so good. It's about like how he was just this freakish monster who could do all this shit. Nobody could do in both sports. And then the tragedy of like how he completely broke his one of his hips and he had a hip replacement in like his 20s, early 30s, and had to get and recovered from that and still led a pro sports career, but not on the level he was pre-injury.
That's amazing. The Tiger Electronics mini sports game with Bo Jackson. Mm. One side was football. You flip it around. The other side is baseball, and they're both bad, so don't play it.
Bo Jackson would also have his own cartoon vanity show, Pro Stars, within around the same time frame as this.
Yep.
And I always thought that they put him in the show because he was two for one. Like, you had Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky, who are arguably, in their own sports, the greatest of all time. Bo Jackson was a really good baseball player and an all right football player. Actually, I think he's pretty good at football, too, but it's like, I guess since he's good at two sports, that adds up to being great, like on the level of the other two guys.
And also, Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky were in that commercial, so they maybe were bros or at least business bros. But I'll say another plus for Howie Mandel. He did a lot of voices in this show. Like, I don't think Bo Jackson did his actual voice.
That's why they had the live action things. Yeah. It was like, well, here's your 2 minutes of Bo Jackson and Wayne Gretzky.
They filmed these all in an afternoon.
Yeah, all in one day.
Yeah.
Yes, the more of the disturbing Boo stuff happens here too, but it's also just weird that Bobby understands the need to kill.
Why is everybody so scared of you?
Maybe because my name is Boo, and because I'm too big, and my house looks scary, and my grandmother has a parrot who thinks he's a mockingbird. Shut up, bird.
Shut up, bird. Shut up, bird.
I understand why you think about killing that bird. He's really annoying.
Oh, I don't appreciate it. As a bird owner, and also, Bobby is a future serial killer, which would say he sings a song about ripping at the feathers of a bird and tearing off its wings earlier in this episode.
That's true.
And then laughs about it.
It entertains him.
But also, isn't it adorable how he doesn't say the vowels at the beginning of words? It's really annoying.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, everybody's just cool with them walking down the street. It's weird.
And then he like was like, hey brother, I don't need you, I have a large and appropriate adult friend. He's gonna show me some cool videos later.
Everyone's impressed. Like, I guess too that he sounds creepy, he looks creepy, he should, I don't know, but Robert Duvall didn't look that creepy as Boo in the film To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, it's a weird idea I was not expecting in this Swim by Me episode.
It's an odd ending to go with, but at least they have to get back to the status quo of Bobby not liking Derek, and he's right, Derek ditched him.
Derek, you're not my hero anymore. You ditched me.
Well, now you found me, so let's go. Let's get this buddy stuff over with.
That's okay. I don't need you to be my buddy. I've got Boo.
Yeah. Boo-hoo!
Don't cry. I didn't even have to say knock-knock.
Owned.
Boo Bradley? He's your buddy? Does he even know how to swim?
Boo knows everything.
You know, Boo, I think this could be the beginning of a beautiful summer vacation.
I wish the episode ended with us hearing sirens.
Boo Bradley went to jail at the end of that episode.
So number one, Derek almost let Bobby die in the pool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number two, if Boo Bradley really was this terrifying person, Bobby could be in several garbage bags spread across Bobby's world right now. So like,
Boo Bradley also gives off a Donnie's Discount Gas sort of like vibe, where it's like, I know everything. No, you cannot possibly know everything, sir.
That's true.
Now I'm starting to think you're lying.
Yeah, Bobby should, like, Derek should have been like, you're a fucking liar. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, you may know basketball, but you're probably not good at it. Like, just look at yourself.
Bo knows everything. I do think it's Fred Stoller now. You've convinced me. I would bet you get your comedian friends jobs when you're a comedian with a show. That's your job. And I could see him being pals with Fred Stoller, him or Emo Phillips.
I did just look up this episode on IMDb, and one of the writers did a voice in the episode, so it could have just been him.
But it is. I'm sad. I thought it was Richard Kind first, because Richard Kind has a little more energy. That was more of the Fred Stoller speed of they're two versions of an annoying Jewish.
Richard Kind is more toothy. He talks like this.
So I did cry when Boo Bradley died in Inside Out.
And you know what? I'm not going to subject people to the ending.
Is the ending?
Well,
it's another live action.
I totally forgot about it.
Well, then let's hear it.
I'm sorry.
Isn't it amazing how much you can learn if you just take your time and put your mind to it? Huh, Bobby?
What do you mean, Howie?
Well, like on today's show, you learn how to swim. You made a new friend. You learned a shortcut.
Yeah, that is amazing. Wow. Then I'm must be amazing. And if I'm amazing, then I'm great. Yeah, I'm amazing and great. That's wonderful. Yeah, then I'm amazing and great and wonderful. I'm amazing, great, and wonderful, and a genius. Yeah, I'm amazing and great and wonderful and a genius.
Bobby, just go to bed.
Okay.
I can see the voiceover director doing the stretch motion to Howie Mandel, like, more, we need 30 seconds.
Yeah, haven't hit it yet.
Inappropriate Boo Bradley content.
They had to cut a few scenes.
We had to cut 20 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, but it is a weird thing to learn. Like, avoid your family, hang out with giant older men. Couldn't they have just made Boo Bradley like a child?
Just draw him differently. Yeah. Do something. And he lives with his grandma, too, which, like, that's creepy. It feels like you were moved around.
He would not be a recurring character on Bobby's World.
Thank goodness. Yeah. But that ending is kind of, it's basically the wheel of morality. They're just like, well, we got to the end. You got to say there was some lesson this. Especially, this is going to be rerun on the Family Channel. There's got to be a moral.
But it's teaching good lessons right up until a point that he becomes friends with Boo Bradley.
Yes, it's very odd.
Where was Fox stepping in?
But again, Boo Bradley would not return again. So that's at least good.
I still have fond memories of Bobby's World, even though, again, I can watch some cartoons and they do hold up as an adult. This kind of doesn't, but again, this is not made for a 35-year-old man, and I was really in love with Bobby's World as a kid, it entertained me then.
I mean, I don't think, if I was watching this for the first time, it wouldn't be entertained, but I thought, this is better writing than most Saturday morning cartoons had at that point.
And there was room for, as the voice acting, I like that there was room for improvisation. And you definitely got to feel most of the time that, Howie Mandel was probably in the same room as Tino and Sana and Gail.
And, in my mind's eye, the animation was great because you'd always get all these weird sequences. Though, there are scenes like when Bobby and his siblings are walking through the line and he's going, new guy, veteran, new guy, which is one of my favorite lines from the episode for some reason. It's just like a pan shot across
poorly drawn characters.
One drawing.
Same with I couldn't tell if what they were going for was that the Esther Williams dancers were supposed to look like sea monkeys,
I think,
or
else
that they just were poorly
drawn. This is Bobby's World, so in his mind he's not he doesn't have a sexual vision of women in his head yet, so he's just imagining what the media
sea monkey
the media
in the
shows
water,
him.
Yeah. I
think
that
they are sea monkeys. I mean, it's not quite at the Tiny Toons level of adult savviness, but it is, you could tell that there is a real comedian behind it.
He's seen Derek's comics that have those pictures and they look pretty.
That's true. And you can get all of them for $1.
You know, again, big ups to Bobby's World, outlasting shows like Camp Candy, Rosie.
Well, there's a reason Camp Candy didn't last.
Okay, yes, that's true. But
and I think, so let's go over these. I mean, there's is there a Roseanne Barr and a Rosie O'Donnell
Little Rosie and Rosie.
Oh, really?
Well, Roseanne definitely had one. Yeah. Well, she had a movie, I think.
Because Rosie had her own talk show that was sort of for kids, where she would shoot koosh balls.
And there was also CJ and Jamal.
C-Bear and Jamal?
C-Ball
and Jabear. Wish Kid with Macaulay Culkin, Pro Stars, MC Hammer, Hammerman.
Kid and Play.
Oh, God,
that's
one.
Right. And again, I believe there's a Rosie O'Donnell and a Roseanne Barr, little blank special. Yeah. They just aired the pilot because no one would buy it.
Yeah, and Cab Candy.
Gravedale High, which was Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis in Gravedale High.
That's right.
Nice to see ya. We're dying to meet ya. Yes, they rhymed ya with ya. And that's why the show lasted forever.
So I think most of those are in, it's like probably 6 years old at this point, so Laser Time that a couple of us did.
But in the 90s, when superheroes and the Power Rangers and then later Pokemon would take over, before that, they're like, well, who's famous? Let's give them their own show. Yeah.
But it's so weird because it's this tenuous thing where it's well, they have to be famous, but not famous enough that they would turn down a cartoon. But it's but then the turnaround time for a cartoon, someone who's mid-level famous can easily become not so famous anymore. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, time.
But Howie Mandel has been famous for 3 decades.
MC Hammer was corny by the time Hammerman came out. And one of the more recent ones I actually remember now in the early 2000s was Andre 3000 got his own Cartoon Network show. And I didn't watch it, but my brother roasted it after watching one episode. He's like, this is the most like glowing suck-up show to the celebrity. Like every character on the show, when they meet Andre, they're just like, you are a musical genius, and so what would you do? He's like, thank you, yes, I am.
I always thought it was awkward that half the show had to be the other guy.
Big boy?
Big boy. They wouldn't be on the same show together.
So thanks for listening, folks. This has been What a Cartoon. That's been Bobby's World, Swim by Me. Again, it should have been Kill a Bobby Bird, but maybe no kill in the titles of episodes for Fox Kids.
I
who
bet
knows?
That's it, yeah.
You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. My other podcast is Retronauts every Monday and occasionally Friday. It is a podcast about classic video games, and we've been going on since 2006. Just go to retronauts.com or look for Retronauts in your podcast machine. I recommend you find a topic you like, download that corresponding episode, and then tell me if you like it. But make sure you say nice things or else I'll cry.
Well, I want to throw it to Dave, our special guest.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to plug because I'm working in gaming at 2K now. So, you know, that's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Just follow me on Twitter at Dave Rudden.
And buy every wrestling game.
Yeah.
just
from now on.
Good. And I am HENEREYG on Twitter, and you can find me there. And this show is supported by patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. We're an offshoot of Talking Simpsons, and we're going through this every episode at a time on Talking Simpsons, and in a similar style as this. So if you like this, maybe you like The Simpsons. And if you want to hear every episode a week early and ad-free of What a Cartoon, maybe give us $5 a month at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons and get access to that and Talking Simpsons and our limited series about the first season of Futurama and a ton of interviews and other cool stuff. So many cool things on there. Check it out for yourself at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons.
Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We'll see you next week for the Beavis and Butthead episode Substitute and Pregnant Pause. We'll see you then.